good morning to all and welcome to day 5 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Monday, 22nd February 2021. Let us pray. Father God, we do not deserve your mercy or grace. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs from under your table. But thank you that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and in Jesus' name we are able to approach your throne for the grace and strength we need to keep us from falling. Lord, we desire to be faithful, but we have yielded to temptation on so many occasions, and though we have tried so hard to live up to our own standards and resolutions, each time we have failed and fallen short. Lord, we know that we have tried to resist in our own strength, and we confess that we can't do this by ourselves anymore. Help us to remain in your love and protection against the tricks of the enemy. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Listen now for the word of God as it is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Did God really say you must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden? Beloved, it's always so tragic to read this story because we know how human relations with God changed after the dialogue between the serpent and Eve. Sin will enter the world, and through sin, death. And all that started with a simple question from the serpent to Eve. It was a question about the integrity of God. Did God really tell you not to eat fruit from any tree in the garden? And the woman was foolish enough to engage in a dialogue with that most cunning of creatures that God had created. "We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden," she answered, "except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die." You see, friends, when the devil succeeded in getting Eve into that conversation, he knew exactly how it would end. Because what the devil needs is the slightest opportunity to penetrate a weak mind, and the rest comes through pretty easy. The fact you are willing to tell a stranger what your father has asked you not to do and to debate it means you are not satisfied with the command, and would be willing to rebel if you had your way. And so the serpent contradicted the command of God. "Please, Eve, you are too beautiful to be ignorant about the truth, or to remain a being that is less than God. In fact, you too can be like God, and that's what God doesn't want to happen. See, what he told you is not true. You will not die but live. God is a liar. Don't believe him. Believe me." So Eve saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat. and she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate. Dear friend, I want you to notice that the tempter began with a suggestion to Eve rather than an argument. Both are verbs, but to suggest is to imply. And suggestions stop short of saying anything explicitly, while an argument is to prove something. The serpent only suggested without any proof. Eve would have been clever enough to look out for an argument and not a suggestion only. But no, she was content with a suggestion. Moreover, the incredulous tone, "So God actually said, you should not eat of this tree," or the serpent's unwillingness to accept the command of God, was both disturbing and flattering. Disturbing because it raised questions about the honesty of God, and flattering because it gave the impression that there was a better alternative to the command of God. It also included the assumption that God's word is subject to our judgment, that it is not final. The exaggeration, "you shall not eat of any tree," was a favorite device that was meant to draw Eve into debate on the devil's terms. And so Eve was truly or duly drawn. And by adding, "neither shall you touch it," she magnified God's strictness. And so the devil immediately took advantage of this weakness and provided a flat contradiction. "You shall not die if you eat the fruit." Dear friends, here is the serpent's word against the word of God. And it is always the devil's word against God's word when you and I are tempted. The climax of this text is a lie. It is a lie that is big enough to reinterpret life and dynamic enough to redirect the flow of affection and ambition. Your life can be better and brighter and wiser. And instead of being a subordinate figure to God, you yourself will be God, and you will be able to direct your destiny. That's what the serpent says to Eve. To be as God and to achieve it by outwitting him is an intoxicating program, because henceforth God will be regarded by Eve as rival and enemy. So the tempter pits his bare assertion against the word and works of God, presenting divine love as envy, service as servility, and a suicidal plunge as a leap into life. "All these things I will give you." Really? And Eve became convinced of the devil's lies, and after eating the fruit, she gave some to Adam, and he also ate. And in fact, their eyes were opened, just as the serpent had said they would. But you see, friend, their open eyes only saw their naked bodies. As soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. Am I talking to you this morning, probably at a time you are about to expose yourself, if you allow the devil to deceive you into doing what you know you are not supposed to do? "All these things I will give you." The pattern was repeated in Christ's temptations, and that pattern repeats itself in our own temptations. Temptations to get rich quickly, and so we corrupt or join secret societies or the occult, or we cheat in our businesses, or sell our bodies for sex. Remember, their open eyes saw their naked bodies. And so let me ask you, what kind of temptation are you facing? There are many. Is it natural temptation? Each of us have natural desires that God has given us, including the desire for acceptance, sex, food, and more. We are tempted on every side through billboards, magazines, videos, pornography, and many other ways. And the question lingers on, does God really say we shouldn't do this? Or maybe it is temptation regarding influence. You are facing temptation because of some influential person. Is it in the office or through your boss? Is it in your family circle or in your circle of friends? Are influential people putting pressure on you to make ungodly decisions? On the other hand, maybe you are a person of influence. If so, are you using it to hurt others or to pressure them to do something that dishonors God? What about temptation for promotion? God desires to bless our work, and this may well lead to promotion and success. However, we need to handle the temptations that come with it, especially pride, greed, lust, compromise, and arrogance. We may be tempted to please our boss and our company more than we please God. We could be tempted to give most of our time to find even greater success and to make more money, often at the expense of neglecting our family and our health and our integrity. What is the temptation in your life? Dear friend, temptation comes in the guise of something desirable, but it always carries destruction with it in the end. If we could see the end result rather than the tempting part, it would be far easier to resist. But Satan knows this, so he cleverly disguises what is deadly in the guise of something pleasurable. And Satan's strategy for luring us into sin is fairly consistent. In one way or another, Satan attempts to drive a wedge between us and God. And he does this by driving a wedge between us and God's word. Satan first leads us to doubt whether God's word is good, and then whether God's word is true, and then finally whether God's word is even relevant. This is the strategy Satan used to lure Adam and Eve into sin. And it is the strategy he still employs to this day. Our success in standing firm against Satan's schemes depends on our ability, by the grace of God, to recognize and oppose these schemes by pleading and trusting in the power of God's word. Dear Lord Jesus, we try hard not to stumble in our walk of faith, but you know the temptations that we face today. We experience desires that lead us away from you. Sometimes the temptation seems too strong for us, the desires seem too powerful to resist. We need your help in this battle. We cannot walk alone, Lord. We need your guidance. Our flesh is weak. Please help us. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to give us strength. We cannot make it without you. Lord, you overcame Satan's temptations. You understand our struggles. So we ask for the strength you had when facing Satan's attacks in the wilderness. Don't let us be dragged away by our own desires. Let our heart obey your word, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.